B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sweet. You were up high.
Hey.
That was a great show.
Yeah, really good.
$6. Let's go. Let's go.
Good win. Good win. Good game.
6-0. Good job on a short week. It's a really good job offensively, patching it together, kind of running short of bodies there. But you guys really sucked it up and did what we had to do there. It's a nice job. We had Tom second on the all-time passing list now.
Trying to get up the rushing records.
Bring it up, boys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's go. Dirty.
Slate's gonna break us. Slate's gonna break us down, but I love you guys, man.
Love you too.
Love you guys. Let's keep it going, huh?
Congrats, Thomas.
Thanks, baby.
I got two things that I'm feeling kind of high about. Number one, my man. Number two, all time passing. That's big, big, big. Number two.
I don't know. We don't celebrate
any
twos around here.
And oh!
Oh!
My man, I love you guys.
Love you too. With Kraft, when he speaks up in those things, it's great. 6-0, baby. They just stand in there like everyone being dwarfed by everyone. Just 6-0. Got to go in. By the way, Tom Brady, not a happy man. Do you hear the press conference where they were asking about when he was a rookie?
Yes.
And he's like, when I was a rookie, I just was trying to not to lose my playbook. And, you know, just showing up on time and not missing meetings. I don't think that's a very veiled attack on the front office for not allowing him to have any veterans.
This season's different than every other one. He's been a company man for 20 years, and now he's at the end or close to it. And once again, no one around him doesn't make as much money as the next guy.
He's got plenty of weapons. He's got 45 running backs.
He does.
Even though Sony Michel's no good.
He does, but now he doesn't have Antonio Brown, which has become clear and clear by the week that he really wanted them to keep
Brown. Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and Dorsett.
Two of them are hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's fine. But if they're healthy, then, I mean, what is he complaining about? But he's got a great third down back in
White.
He
doesn't want to work with rookies. That's the deal. That's always been his deal.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to work with the rookies.
Fine. Then don't work with Ben. I mean, what do you want him to do? I mean, he's got three weapons and then weapons out of the backfield.
Well, his comments are that he doesn't want to waste his time at his age working with young players. And then on Thursday night, he went out there throwing it around and looked like an idiot. Like, to me, Brady's still the greatest of all time, but he's out there throwing bad passes. He doesn't look good.
No.
But he wants to blame all the weapons around him.
Right. Which is completely asinine. I mean, he's played with worse. The only thing this team can't afford to lose is Edelman. But and they're winning. They're 6-0.
But
by the way, these defenses that he's playing against, like the Giants, woo, that's a real it's an 85 Bears right there. I mean, the Giants suck. Wait, what do you need? Your big
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sweet. You were up high.
Hey.
That was a great game.
Yeah,
really. 6-0. Let's go. Let's go.
Good win. Good win. Good game.
6-0.
Good job on a short week. It's a really good job offensively, patching it together, kind of running short of bodies there. But you guys really sucked it up. Did what we had to do there. It's a nice job. We had Tom second on the all-time passing list now.
to grab the rushing records.
Bring it up, boys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Dirty.
Slate's going to break us. Slate's going to break us down, but I love you guys, man.
Love you, too.
Love you guys. Let's keep it going, huh?
Congrats, Thomas.
Thanks, baby.
I got two things that I'm feeling kind of high about. Number one, my man. Number two, all time passing. That's big, big, big. Number two.
I don't know. We don't celebrate
six
twos around here.
And oh! Oh!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Touch Your Lights on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Wallach's the big shot in the second chair. Joe Murray in because Rich has got diarrhea. Came in and he said he felt fine when he got up, and then he just had diarrhea all over the place. He smelt bad. Then he went home to be home with his diarrhea, where it's much more comfortable. But his kids, I don't know, I would imagine they don't have school today. So hopefully they can get out of the house not as to not catch his diarrhea.
Sure.
You know?
Always dangerous.
It can be. Jeff Howe had diarrhea one Super Bowl. He could not go to any of the events during one of the Super Bowls for his diarrhea. His company had paid him out to fly out there, and he could not attend any of the functions because of severe diarrhea. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com, is not his employer at the time. I believe he was with the Herald at the time. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Howe, hello. Mr. Howe. Mr. Howe.
Hello. Hi. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you got diarrhea?
I did. I just had one more push.
All right. So, but that is true. Unfortunately, what city was it where you got real sick and you couldn't do anything?
That was Houston. That was a full-on flu for like 2.5-3 days.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. And you're locked up in a hotel room. All right. So we were talking about this. Obviously, Brady is upset about the people around him, correct?
I mean, that's one way to put it.
Well, I mean, how would you put it?
I mean, that's... I don't know. I mean, can you lead me in a better direction here? That's a pretty broad brush.
So he said that when he was a rookie, he was just concerned about not being late to meetings and not losing his playbook. I mean, he's been saying things in conferences that you could interpret as, you know, he doesn't like playing with rookies and he wants more experienced personnel. You don't get that from him?
Well, yeah, I can understand there would be some frustration. And without Gronk, your top three wide receivers are injured to some extent right now. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of production out of the tight end group. So, you know, you look at the other night when they're basically down to one personnel group and two of those guys who were playing are undrafted rookies. That's a big reason why the, you know, Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio have been working the phones and trying to bring somebody else in.
All right. If you, because, you know, they need help on the line, they could use a tight end. Also, I guess, a veteran receiver. If you were Nick Caserio or you were Bill Belichick, what position would you be looking at? What's the most viable and reasonable position that you think they could get help with?
Well, I mean, they're looking certainly at tight end and certainly a wide receiver. So it's not just like one position here. And then the offensive line is, you know, they're not ignoring that either. So, I mean, the way I understood it was they had the potential for some deals in place on Friday, and they were just kind of looking to get through the weekend to see if those would continue to materialize. And look, I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled off a trade today, and it doesn't have to necessarily just be one. So, yeah, I mean, they're certainly, whether it's a trade or just a free agent signing, I mean, they're looking at, they've been active certainly in the trade market with receivers. I would assume that's also been the case with tight ends, because I know that they have been scouring the free agent market with tight ends. So, I mean, again, there's the likelihood that moves will be made.
Does this seem like a 6-0 team to you? We had this discussion right before you came on, and whether or not they are as good as their record, injuries, taking into account the injuries they're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is so damn good that that's the reason why they're 6-0. And certainly they have some frustrations on offense. They have some things they need to clean up. The offensive line is struggling more than expected because they've got two backups, or, you know, Ted Karras, I wouldn't necessarily, probably unfair to call him a backup because he could start on a lot of teams. I mean, he's doing a damn fine job right now. But at left tackle, I mean, Marshall Newhouse is on his eighth team for a reason. He's serviceable, but he's not what they expected that they were going to get out of that position when they opened the year with Isaiah Wynn. So, and they're still, you know, putting up 30 points more often than not. But again, there's, you know, just because it doesn't look like it has looked for the majority of the last couple decades offensively, doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be 6-0, because, I mean, again, they're still doing what they want to do, or not what they want to do, but they're doing what more than enough defensively, and, you know, trying to complement that with the offense.
All right. Well, how much do you give the defense credit based on the fact that it might be a historically bad group of quarterbacks that they faced this season?
Well, they're smothering those guys, and I think that's why they deserve a lot of credit. They're not going out there and winning, you know, 10-9 or 35-33 or whatever. I mean, they're blowing out these teams, and you think you deserve credit for that in the NFL. It doesn't matter how bad the team is on the other side. If you're winning these games, if it's a one-sided margin, then, I mean, again, you deserve credit for that. This isn't the BCS. It doesn't look like Patriots football offensively with a couple skill positions doesn't mean you're not a good football team. Watch the rest of the league.
I didn't say they're not a good football team, but I'm saying, you know, this defense has statistically been historic, but they've played. I would be pressed to find a worst group of quarterbacks that they've been. When Daniel Jones, after Roethlisberger, who was probably hurt during that game, is the best quarterback that you faced six games into the season, I would say that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it is. But again, I mean, they're smothering these guys. There's just, you look at, I mean, they're not even giving up garbage time points. So it's like when you score against the Patriots, it's because there's been a massive breakdown. I mean, John Jones got his fingertip on a ball that wound up being a 64-yard touchdown. You know, Steven Sims scores on an end-around on a 65-yarder when either six or seven guys got either blocked out of the play or missed a tackle. Josh Allen's touchdown was an inch away from being a fumble and a fourth-down stall. So that's it. And they're, I mean, what more do you want out of them?
All right, Jeff.
Play someone good.
Call them. I mean, it's just, this isn't like, we expected this defense to be good. They closed last season really, really good, and this was the expectation. They added Jamie Collins, who looked this good in the preseason or in training camp, and everybody who was down there was saying, hey, watch out for these guys. You know, watch out for Jamie Collins. Look at the step that John Jones is taking. Watch how good Devin McCourty is looking this stage in his career. You know what you're going to get out of Stephon Gilmore. You know that the pass rush is going to stem from the linebackers. You know you have a lot of depth up front. And all of these things are materializing. Now, would the numbers be the same if they were playing Aaron Rodgers every week? Of course not. But it's, I mean, they're a good defense. I mean, they're a potentially great defense.
No.
Okay.
Jeff, real quick. N'Keal Harry placed on injured reserve in week two. I guess this is the first week they can start the clock on him. Do you expect him to start practicing this week?
I'd be surprised if he didn't. I mean, the way I understood it not too long ago was that he was certainly going to be healthy enough to play, or he was going to be healthy enough to return this season. It was basically just up to Bill Belichick as to whether or not he wanted Harry to be one of those guys who was going to come off IR. I mean, again, it starts with Isaiah Wynn, and I think he can come back as early as he can start practicing, if not next week and the week after that. And then you got to decide between N'Keal Harry and James Devlin. And it's unlikely that James Devlin is going to be healthy enough to return this season. But, you know, I could see, especially with Jakob Johnson going on IR now, that, you know, the Patriots could be a little more patient with Devlin instead of Harry. Because, again, you know, the first thing we were talking about is rookies and how much can you realistically expect from those guys, especially one, you know, it doesn't matter that he's a first-round pick and that he looks the part. If you're going to expect a lot from a rookie who has just missed about 10 weeks of practice going back to how limited he was for the majority of training camp because of those couple injuries, you know, I could see them being hesitant with that. But, again, this is certainly one of the things that we're looking for this week.
Hey, Jeff, what's the latest on Michael Bennett? And could he become a problem if he doesn't get more snaps over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because his snap percentage has decreased every single week since the opener when I think he played 55% against Pittsburgh. And he had been largely efficient with those snaps. I mean, he had been one of their three or four best pass rushers despite not – you know, not playing as much as we all expected him to. So will he be a problem? I mean, every time that, from what I understood, that he had been a problem, if you want to put that in air quotes, in his previous stops, it was more with upper management and not in the locker room. So I don't think so, but they have so much depth. It's certainly surprising that they aren't using him as much. I mean, I was sitting here saying for a couple weeks that I thought one of the reasons could have been, all right, well, you've got some youth at the pass rusher positions. A lot of those guys are playing well. And then when you rely a lot on youth early in the season, those guys tend to fade in the second half. And maybe that's why they were saving Michael Bennett. But the way that the snap percentages continue to decrease, I'm starting to wonder if it's more than that. And then, you know what? You got to wonder if they are going to make a trade, if they're going to add a viable piece with a big cap hit, you got to wonder if maybe Michael Bennett's a guy that they would consider sending out just because of, you know, it would save them money. And they have been doing so well without him playing a huge role. So, again, I don't think he's going to be a problem. I think he's been a good player despite the strange circumstances. But I still haven't been able to completely put my finger on why he is not had a more prominent role.
All right. Well, Jeff Howe, thank you for the time. Always full of pee and vinegar when you come on. Taking care of business. Hopefully you don't catch Rich's diarrhea. We appreciate the time.
I hope Rich's diarrhea sorts itself out.
It will have to, unless something's terribly wrong. I'll tell you that he gets defensive. That Howe. You don't like when you take shots at his boys.
Well, I was just going to say, that when he started saying, well, what more do you want? I'm like, okay, here we go. Ramp it up.
Yeah. And then, can you give me some more to go on?
Yeah. Could you lead me in a direction, Fred?
Yep.
Jesus.
Well, you know, you're there at the stupid press conferences.
You got to lead him in a direction.
I did lead him in a direction.
You didn't know
I
how to answer the question. Obviously, it was a crap question.
Yeah.
I thought you did well.
Oh, thanks.
Kiss ass.
No, I did. I mean, I love Jeff Howe. Loved the guy for years and appreciate him coming on. But, like, can someone answer some questions around here?
I don't know. I mean, he seems very defensive about his favorite team. All right.
You were awesome.
Might have been Brady.
I thought you were really good.
Maybe he's writing something about Brady and doesn't want to go.
Maybe he's writing a book. Yeah, you never know. All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich has diarrhea, so Joe Murray is in.
I had a lot of diarrhea.
Yep. And Joe Murray has not smoked weed in a month and a half.
I bet you I still can't pass a drug test.
You should try it.
I'll buy one at CVS. I'll let you guys know.
But you do like psilocybic mushrooms.
I haven't done those in years.
Okay, but
Last time I went to a Tool concert once. And somebody tried to mosh with me, and the kid I was with says, if you mosh with me again, I'll punch you in the face. So the kid moshed us again. We punched him in the face, and he loved it. He, like, just kept coming back for more.
Oh, really?
So we were just taking shots all night long at this dude.
How big is this guy?
Oh, he was tiny. He was like your size.
Really?
Yeah, he just walked. You know, just like moshers, like they're just, yeah. Obviously, yeah, you know.
Like at a Tool, and especially like at a show like Tool, where you have guys that have... You know, this is, they put in mouth guards and, yes, you know, figure that this is going to be the big time. They're going to be tough.
180-pound guy came up to you.
Yeah, just getting wailed by two 300-pound dudes.
There's nothing to be, like, being at an arena show to really let you know that these guys don't get it.
God.
Like, if you mosh at, like, a, well, except for, like, Slayer and stuff like that where everyone's insane. But if you mosh at, like, a punk show, it's kind of a communal thing. Mm. It's not, you know, they'll pick you up and stuff like that. But if you go to one of these big shows, stay out of the way.
Right.
All right. But so you have had a bad trip.
I've had bad trips, yeah. It's a lot of sweating, a lot of paranoia, and visuals.
All right. 617-779-0985. As people, weed becomes legal and, you know, there is a downside. There can be a downside to these things. And that can be that you're in a very bad place. I know Rich, the first time that he got high, because he was saying he couldn't get high, the first time he got high was a nightmare for him.
At least, 2 hours, he said?
Yeah.
He was kind of locked in that box?
Every time I get high, there's a certain bit of paranoia, but one time I got high, and at the end of The Simpsons, the credits come on really fast, but they were going really slow.
Yes.
And so I realized while time for others was moving at a certain pace, that my time, regardless, so what would be an hour to someone else would be like a day to me. So I became, and then I just started freaking out more and more and more that this was never going to go away. So I'd imagine, but weed wears off relatively quickly. Mm. And you're able to like go in bed and like kind of just shut your eyes and try to make it go away. But I would imagine with mushrooms, that is not something that you can do.
It's 6 hours. It sits in your system. And there's nothing you can do. And I have heard if you try to have a bowel movement, it actually increases.
Sounds like fun.
Now, is there a reason? Now, when you had a bad trip, like, did you ever have one where you were like freaking out to the point that you thought that, like this was never going to end?
I sat in my car, turned the air conditioner on, locked the doors and put music on and just stayed there. And one night I slept outside with a friend. I don't know what happened. We just wanted to stay outside one night.
Yeah, because I had at one point, I was like playing poker at some kid's house when summer I was home and Lollapalooza was going on, but I wasn't going to go. And so I won these pre-rolled joints from these like sketchy dudes. And I went over to my house and smoked it. And I've told this story before, but all of a sudden I could see sweat coming out of my hands. Like my heart was going crazy. And I went home and my friend called me. Now, I just thought I was being a pussy because I really, really smoked weed. But my friend called and he said, who smoked weed all the time. And he goes, I'm at Burger King. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, no, I'm at Burger King and I can't leave. And he was at a payphone that was in between the two bathrooms, sitting on the floor,
wow,
unable to leave. But my friends who went to Lollapalooza, one being a doctor now and one being a police officer now, the police officer started seeing red out of one eye and black out of the other eye and ran into the woods.
Whoa.
And my friend who's a doctor now passed out and hit his head on a bumper of a car because he freaked out so badly. He freaked out so badly he passed out.
Wow.
Like his body, like, you know when you see people on that ride that they fling in the air and they pass out? Yeah. Like he started panicking so much he passed out.
Wow.
So there are times where these are not fun. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So the first time I ever made weed cookies was in that weird time in Massachusetts when there was you could have weed, but you couldn't buy weed.
Right.
So me and my buddy ended up getting about 7 grams of weed, and I made cookies. And I had no idea what I was doing. So I made these cookies. Didn't do any math. Didn't do any calculations. I've gotten better at it now. We brought them down to a guy's week, and there was 4 of us. We each ate an entire cookie, thinking, all right, this is going to be fine. We drive over to a liquor store that was approximately 2 minutes away from where we were. So I was like, it's going to be an hour before we, you know, I've had edibles before. It's going to be an hour before we feel anything. We get to the liquor store, and we all look at each other with bug eyes and go, we got to get out of here now. So we get our beer. We get back to the house. My one buddy, he's laying on the couch talking to a god. I don't know who he was talking to. I ended up puking. My other friend freaked out. He went downstairs and just slept for about 6 hours. And the last guy, for whatever reason, thought that we were all trying to kill him. So we had to FaceTime my wife so that he could be like, okay, you're fine. Everything's okay. And she had to reassure all of us that we weren't going to die.
Yeah. That happened to me recently is this year. We had people over and the no kids, right? And so there was people over and I smoked. And then the problem with me is that I'll smoke. I go, it's not doing anything. And I'll smoke because I've been drinking. And I became convinced that no one else had smoked pot and that it was a joke on me. So I sat down and this guy goes, like, I can see that you're freaking out. And then proceeded to tell me every story of him freaking out on weed. Like that he was in a car one time and then he couldn't feel his legs. That he da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, you're making this 1,000 times worse than what it has to be. Corey, go ahead.
Hey, one time when I was in college, me and my friends have been drinking all day, and middle of a party, my buddy tells me, oh, you want to do some shrooms? So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Should be a fun time. Eat some mushrooms. And so I'm tripping. I leave my phone in the basement of this party so that no one calls me. And in the middle of me tripping for the entire time, my buddy comes up to me with my phone and goes, hey, Corey, your mom's on the phone. She's asking for you. And I just absolutely freaked out.
No.
And I didn't know what to do. It was the worst experience ever. And, you know, after that, I just said to myself, I'm never doing shrooms again.
Until the next time you did them. Now, when you're talking to your mom, can she tell something's going wrong?
Yeah, she's asking me, like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? You know, I was supposed to be flying home the next day from college back to my mother's house. And so she was asking me if I had everything said, if I had everything booked. She's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? And then the next day when I spoke with her, I was like, Ma, I don't know what happened. Somebody must have dropped some sort of drug in my drink while I was at a party. And, it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and that's what you want is your mom questioning your behavior at that point. I would imagine that's no good. But, Murray, you seem like a man who can handle these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I can't even tell you the last time I blacked out. Like, I'm a huge man, so, like, I've drank a lot of alcohol.
No, but it's not the alcohol. I'm talking about more of, like, you can handle, like, a bad trip.
Yeah, like, sometimes the weed, though, like, it depends on what you get. You know, I one time tried to make my own oil before.
Yeah.
And it was too potent. And when I tell you, like, it was too potent, I was panicking.
Okay, so how did you make your own oil?
You get the, what do you call it? It's kind of like a resin, I forget what they call it.
Okay.
Shatter. You melt down the shatter. and then you it like become looks like you know caramel, and then you you put a little drop in it that I got from somebody, and you mix it around, and then you put it inside the little tube thing, and it was too potent. Like, you know how that guy was saying he put 7 grams in the cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was like, I've had like 99% THC of oil before. This had to be like 199% THC. I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying, you know?
And so you start panicking.
You freak out because you don't know what it is. And yeah, heart starts beating fast. And you're like, oh no, like, you don't want a Chris Farley situation thing going on.
So now you're convinced you're having a heart attack?
Well, yeah, you just panic. That's the number one thing that happens. Is that the one thing, like, when you're stoned, you're like, oh, man, I'm freaking out.
Yes.
Like, yeah. you need to do something to just, like, snap out of it.
See, that's the thing is that they'll go, like, oh, this is indica. And you'll go, oh, well, that must be mellow. And then you'll go, then you'll read something and they'll go, oh, no, that's, like, completely really trippy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the strain.
Yeah. It's like, what did you eat that day? What time did you go to bed? Are you on any other medication? Like, it just all just happens at one time.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I don't know if it's because I take an antidepressant, if that's going to be screwing with the...
But see, like, when I drink and, like, I don't smoke for a while, then I smoke, like, I do get crunk juice. Like, I get, like, legit, I'm drunk, but then the weed takes over. And I haven't felt my legs before.
Have you ever gotten, like, a weed hangover?
Definitely.
Yes. Oh, I see, those are the worst.
Oh,
like, where everything's cloudy and, like, yeah, all messed up.
Yeah,
the
you
next
can't
day.
Fit. You can't think. You can't function normally.
That's the thing is I could never smoke weed the night before I had to be on the air. And I've drank, like, a ton the night before I've gone on the air and been fine the next day.
Weed hangovers for me are more like when you just smoke, like, 5 blunts with all your friends. You do nothing all day, and the next day you can't operate.
Yeah.
All right. Like, you're so high that the next day it actually affects you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, like, you're actually, like, still actually high the next day. You're just not smoking.
Sort of, yeah. But, yeah, I just, for me, it's everything's, like, real, like, out of place and, like, cloudy.
Why do I get to a, I get the feeling you've been to a couple of places where not many people have been.
I probably have. I mean, I've never done, like, acid or anything like that. I've never.
I'm not saying you have.
Natural, man.
Yeah,
it's all natural. Just saying you've gone a lot further than most are willing to go.
I'll test the limit every once in a while. I like to get my uniform dirty.
We got a bunch of phone calls. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's very sad to announce that Joe Murray, due to dry tooth, or something of that nature.
Dry socket
has not been allowed to smoke weed, which is...
I looked up dry socket. Can you explain it?
No.
I really would rather not.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And I get this tooth thing
done.
What
does that mean? What is it?
When you lose a tooth, there's clotting that happens in that tooth that allows you to replace it. But if you don't, if you smoke too much... that clotting doesn't happen.
Exactly. It's a blood clot in the tooth, and it might happen, it might not, and it hits the underlying bone and hurts your nerves, and it sucked. It sucked bad.
I just saw pictures of it, and it's disgusting. Dude, I am sorry. That's not
good. I'm good now. October 30th, I get a new tooth. Boom!
All right.
You know, that's inexpensive. Matt, especially with the great dental we get here.
I'm a bison of health over here, you know?
Matt, go ahead.
Thank you, boys.
Hey.
Love you guys.
Thanks.
So listen, I'm going to give you the best story ever. So as a kid, I smoked all the time. As an adult, not possible. I had a buddy of mine get me a thing of edibles. I was going to take them with my family and watch a movie. So we break them out one night. I rip one in half. I give it to my sister. I eat the other half. My dad eats some. All of a sudden, I start looking, and it says for somebody who doesn't eat them, they should only eat 3 to 5 grams. the edibles I had were 50 grams or 50 milliliters or whatever the measurement is. My sister freaked out, thought she was going to die, wanted to go to the hospital. I had to keep Googling, you can't die from it, you can't die from it. The whole night was ruined. I thought I was going to be fine, dead, in bed, 3 days, couldn't get out of bed. 50, however they measure, I have 50 milliliter gummies, and they almost killed us.
Oh, Jesus. That's the thing about weed, is that I'm always very impressed when people can just pick it up and just nothing happens, that they enjoy it. Because I never do. Never. Too much for me. Especially with edibles. Because you never know. Because when they're making the edibles, they have no idea what the hell. I mean, they're making a big stock of crap. I mean, they don't know how much is in every edible.
Edibles freak me. But I will never smoke a joint at a concert from someone I don't know ever again, though.
That's how I got angel dust. That's how I smoked angel dust.
Dude, I smoked something that got me right out of my chair once. I don't know what it was. I've smoked a lot of weed in my life, but I smoked something that day. I was at a Pearl Jam concert, and this guy's like, yeah, man, try this stuff, man. I'm like, I did, and then the next person next to me, I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, because I've had a friend in high school that smoked, and it was been dipped in Drano. Oh,
that's when it's like, all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and so the...
Like, I can say, like, you know, screwing somebody over at a drug deal you don't know or something, right. You know? Like, hey, man, that's some weed, $50, here you go, and it's like, you know, oregano or whatever.
Yeah,
well, I get that.
I was... The only time I tried to buy weed, I was in the Bahamas, and the guy literally gave me leaves off a bush in front of the bar.
There you go, because he didn't know you. Yeah, when I was in the Bahamas, I scored, and I, like, made sure it was the real deal.
How do you do that?
I walked over with him and wanted to make sure. I wanted a pipe, too.
All right. Meriwether is online. Brandon Meriwether. We will have him. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.